these moments that we have in the presence of the Lord, what's so sweet about them is that you realize you don't have to have a bunch of booming music to enjoy who He is. You don't have to have a bunch of hype, and that's fun and that's all good. But sometimes He likes to just move into the room, and while nothing else is going on, and just cause you to experience Him and just to enjoy Him, to enjoy just complete peace. Isn't there so much peace in here this morning? That's what He wants. He wants you to be at rest and to enjoy Him. Well, are you guys awake this morning? Everybody awake? Let's pray real quick and let's ask the Lord to help us with the word this morning. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your presence. We receive wisdom this morning, revelation knowledge, eyes that see Jesus, ears that hear who He is, hearts that understand who He is. And Lord, thank You for showing and revealing Yourself to us this morning. And when we hear it, Lord, we just, our desire is to respond to You in faith, lift up our hearts to You in faith, believing who You are, believing that You are who You say You are. We receive from You this morning wisdom and light. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn in your Bibles with me this morning? We're going to look. See, my husband has to help me all the time. Isn't he so handsome? You guys know our story, right? And I'm not going to go back and tell it right now. But I will tell you this, that when I first saw him a long time ago, 7 years ago this year, when I first saw him, actually, it was probably about 8 years ago, because, let's just say this. I was at a Southwest Believers Convention. I came, and somebody drugged me into the youth meeting, okay? I didn't want to come. And when I came in, I saw that guy preaching, and I was like, he is so smoking hot. And he raised his hand, he said, amen. But man, I was sold. You know, here's the deal. He was hot, and he still is hot. He's actually hotter today than he's ever been. He's been working out a lot lately, and you should see these muscles. They're pretty awesome. Anyway, that's okay. You don't get to see him. I get to see him. Okay, if you guys will look in your Bible with me, we can go to John chapter 10. But I'm so thankful for my husband. He's like, I could cry right now thinking about it. He's so awesome. I love you. You know what's so cool about getting married, if you marry the right person, is that, well, as a woman, I did not plan to say this. I don't know why I'm crying, I guess. Ooh. I'm so glad I wore waterproof mascara. Oh. You guys be looking at a raccoon all morning. No, man, what's so special to me about being married is, did you know that it's so important who you choose in life to spend the rest of your life with? It's because that person is meant to minister to you. They are supposed to minister to you. And, you know, my husband, of course, you guys know him, how awesome a preacher he is, but in everyday life, every day he ministers to me. Well, almost every day. Just joking. Every day he ministers to me. And there's, you know, 7 years of history together. Man, I've got stories and stories of how much of a blessing he's been in my life. But that's why, hey, I'm just encouraging you, wait for the right person. Just let God do what he knows how to do. Don't try to make it happen. If he's leading you to get out, this is funny because the Lord's dealing with me about talking to you this morning about him being your good shepherd. You know, the good shepherd leads the sheep. And I didn't realize I was going to say this to you this morning, but in John chapter 10, it actually says that he leads them out. And if you are in a relationship right now, and I believe I'm just saying this by the Spirit of God this morning because I wasn't planning on saying it. If you're in a relationship and you have a sense that it's not right, remember this saying. If it's not quite, it's not right. And if you have a sense that something may not be right, I'd encourage you to listen to your good shepherd and let him lead you out. Okay? So I don't know why I'm saying that, but somebody in here may be in a relationship that they need to be led out of. You're all like this. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. Okay. Just, you know, bow your head and act like I'm not talking to you. Okay. We're in John chapter 10. Well, that was a side note. This whole passage is all about the good shepherd. And you know what? Can somebody get my notes for me back there? I left them in the back. Verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. There we go. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, you know, the reason I just told you that about him leading you out is not because you just can't be in a relationship, not because he doesn't want you to have a relationship. The reason is because he's got the best for you, and he's smarter than you are. He is so smart, and he's got a plan for your life that is way beyond your wildest dreams. I'm telling you, I was dating this guy for 2.5 years. Before I met Jeremy for a long time, and the Lord was dealing with me about getting out of that relationship. And when he dealt with me, I could not in my soul see how to get out of it. I was confused. I had been in something so long that I didn't know how to get out of it. My soul was heavy already because I was in the wrong relationship. You know, I wasn't happy. But the Lord led me out of it. You know why? Because he had something much better planned for me. And he had a life, and I look back over my life and the things that have happened to me since I married Jeremy. It's a good life, y'all. It's good to follow the Lord. It's good to obey the voice of the Lord. Here we go. We're going to keep moving on. He brings out his own sheep, and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Now, remember here, we're looking at red letters, so this is Jesus speaking. It's got to be important. Verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone here enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come but except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they would have life, they'd have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Oh, this is so good. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And you can keep going and reading that later, but I want to talk to you right now about a very, very important subject. Sheep. Can you do that again for me? Are you ready? Sheep. Wow, that was a perfect picture of what I'm about to tell you. Sheep are interesting animals. They are, let's just say, they're not the sharpest animal on the block, okay? Let me put it a little nicer. They're not the brightest bulb in the box. when it comes to animals. You know what I'm trying to say? Let's see. They're one fry shy of a Happy Meal. Do you know what I'm trying to say about sheep? They're unintelligent. That's a nice way to put it. Yes, they're missing one. They're like the missing crayon in the crayon. What? Yeah, they're a little slow. They are the sheep. They are kind of dumb, really. They're dumb animals. There are a few good things about sheep. The mommies know how to take care of their babies. As much as a sheep could. It's weird, random. And they do follow a leader when they need to. They follow a shepherd when they need to sometimes. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. But, you know, I'm just saying they're not this smart. They're not like a cheetah, okay? Cheetah or a lion or some really cool animal. Sheep are just, you know. So, you're probably like, what are you talking about? Well, the thing is, sheep are not just necessarily dumb animals. They're a little slow. But what makes them dumb is two things. Two moments in their life. One, when they run away from the rest of the herd, or when they only follow the crowd. Or always follow the crowd. And Jesus is speaking to us about being the good shepherd. Now, think about this. I want you to know, first of all, Jesus is not comparing you to a dumb sheep. He's not trying to tell you that you are dumb. He doesn't want you to feel dumb. You are not dumb. That's not the point of this. You're only dumb when you choose to wander away from him. When you choose to get outside of his care. When you take time to wander off and move away from him. Now, you know what? You can do that. Did you know you have the freedom to do what you want to do? You do. You can do whatever you want today, tomorrow, for the rest of your life. You can. You have a free will. You are able to do whatever you want in this life. But you know what? That would be pretty dumb. Would that be dumb? Why? Because you have been given a good shepherd, someone who wants to lead you, someone who wants to help you, someone who wants to feed you, someone who wants to lead you, someone who wants to protect you. Now, here's the deal about sheep. They do, like, really strange things. Sometimes, okay, like, for instance, if they're really, really hungry, really starving, they won't lay down in the pasture and eat food. They, for some reason, just don't know how to lay down. Okay, now all of us can lay down. Probably any animal can lay down and eat grass. But the sheep doesn't even know how to lay down. You have to, like, I don't know, knock him over or something. But he also does this. If he's thirsty, this is another silly thing. If he's thirsty and the streams are, like, they come to a stream of water and it's moving too much, he or she won't get leaned down and drink out of the water because it's moving. Now, come on. If you're really, really thirsty, you won't bend over and drink out of the water. This is silliness. So, a little slow. But you know what else they'll do? They'll jump in, like if there are a lot of other sheep are around, they'll go run and get in the crowd. And if one sheep takes off towards the edge of a cliff, they'll all follow off the edge of the cliff. Did you know there has been, I've read reports of this studying, you know, you're like, why do you look at things like this on the internet? But this is what I like to look at on the internet, stories about sheep. But there are reports of like thousands and thousands of sheep actually following each other off of cliffs. Now, listen to this. What if these sheep were staring at their shepherd instead of each other, and decided to follow him instead of following each other off the cliff. See, this is the value in having a good shepherd. He is there to lead you to the right place in life. He's there to lead you down the right path. And so, yeah, not the smartest cookie on the tray. They're not the smartest cookies on the tray. I don't know. Okay, let's move on. So, they like to get lost. That's like part of the thing. They like to wander off and get lost. And if you've ever heard in the Bible, you've read the story of the parable of the lost sheep. You know, Jesus tells the story. And he will go off. This is how much he loves us. Even if we've wandered off and done something silly, done something stupid, he still does whatever he can to run after us and rescue us. That's how good he is and how wonderful he is. Still doesn't make it smart of us to do that, but he's still that good. He will leave the herd and he will go to find us. What a good God. And he did that for us. That's who he is. He's a rescuer. And here's the thing. In John 10, we read this scripture, but I love it in the Amplified. It says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. There was one person who decided that he would risk it all, lay down his life, be put to death, come running after us, and rescue us. One good shepherd that would do that. Now, other shepherds it talks about here, they're hirelings, or they just do it for the money. But we have a good shepherd, and he cares for the sheep, and his name is Jesus. And he is always there. He's always caring for you. And the only time that you don't get to enjoy the full benefits of that care is when you wander off outside of the care. And you want to go and do your own thing and go away from that. But the interesting thing the Lord showed me this morning was that there's two kind of dumb sheep. The sheep that is alone and focuses on himself, and the sheep that is obsessed with the crowd, follows after the crowd. Now, here's the deal. A lot of us come to healing school, or we live life, and we are always thinking about this, you know, the ones of us that know the word. We think about healing, and we automatically think about the healing of our bodies, needing healing in our bodies, needing some kind of healing from a disease or sickness or disease. But you know, I want to talk to you about another kind of sickness this morning that's not related. It is related to your body, but it's not just your body. It is soul sickness. Have you guys ever heard of anything like this? Being sick in your soul? Did you know just like you have a sickness in your body, or disease in your body, which I don't believe you guys have that. We are the healed of the Lord. But just like that comes on people, there's also other forms of sicknesses that come to the soul. And a lot of people live unaware of these sicknesses, and therefore they live below average lives. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to deal with this morning because I believe that we need to get free of some stuff this morning. And I want to just talk about a few of these soul sicknesses. But there are two things that lead to these soul sicknesses. One of them is the sheep syndrome called the selfie syndrome. The selfie life. And this selfie life, selfish life, it will make your soul sicker than you could imagine. It is all centered on self, centered around you. You. Actually, I should say this. Me, 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 me. Hey, you, look at me. Me, 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 me. Hey, you, look at me. Now, why did I say the selfie life all ago? Some of you guys, I believe, you're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You know what I'm talking about. This is the selfie generation. Huh? Have you ever posted a selfie picture? No, he's never done it. Yeah, me neither. This is the selfie generation. We are, and you know, I'm just going to say it, and this is not my confession, but this is just what I have seen from, because growing up, we didn't have cell phones. I had a cell phone when I got in high school. That's as early as I had a cell phone. I didn't know what Twitter was, Facebook, any of that. But now, we are on that Instagram all day long posting pictures, are we not? Are we on Twitter, Facebook all day? And I'm telling you, these things can lead to some sicknesses in your soul without even noticing. Now, I'm not saying that social media is bad. Social media is not bad, especially when it's used the right way. But there are a lot of these things that you can, without knowing it, let creep into your life. And just some things, just I want to look at them. For instance, the selfie life, where you spend your days wanting people to look at you, wondering what other people's opinions are of you, desiring attention. And the Lord dealt with me not very long ago, and he said, I want you to live the unselfie life. The unselfie life. And what does that mean? That means when you are tempted to post a selfie, what is it to post a selfie? You're saying, hey, look at me. Most people, most girls are like, hey, look how cute I look. I want to show everybody how cute I look today, okay? I mean, I have a good hair day. I did my makeup real nice. I want to show you how good I look today. I mean, our world is infested with it. It is crazy. Or, you know, I even see people in the Christian world do it, like, and then make it spiritual, like post a picture of themselves and then put like a whole long scripture. Like, really? Yeah. I was created in his image and in his likeness for his glory. Hallelujah. Really, you just want people to look at your outfit for the day, or you want people to think you're cool. Isn't it like all about self? And I know this is kind of a funny thing to talk about sometimes, but really, this is the opposite of who Jesus is. And man, I don't know about you, but my desire is to be like him, to be the real deal, to look like him. Do you know who Jesus is? He is so genuine. He is so real and raw. And there's nothing in him. There's no fakeness in him. No falseness. No pride. No look at me, look at me, look at me. There's nothing selfie about him. Jesus, man, he is the most unselfish. He is the shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep every day. You know, he's still doing that today. We think about just the incident when he died on the cross for us, but every day he is still laying down his life for the sheep. And to look like him, to start to be like him, to start to turn into his image of glory, to start to, that only comes with staring at him. That only comes by beholding him. And that only comes by living the unselfie life. And I started to study some of these things. It just, like, the Lord was overwhelming me with it. And I heard him say to me this. I talked to Lacey about it on the phone, and she said that the same things were on that their heart. But we wanted to start a campaign called the Unselfie Campaign. And hey, you know what? We want to invite you guys to do it with us. Do you want to do it with us? I mean, it's just an experiment, and so we could see what happens. But you know, I guarantee you, if you join this experiment and this campaign, you will be happier in your soul. You will have more joy in your soul. And I'm going to explain it to you, okay? The Unselfie Campaign. The Unselfie. Look, this is how I saw it. Hashtag Unselfie. Okay? So, this is what it is. It is raising awareness of Jesus in a culture obsessed with self. The unselfie life. And you know what? I'm just going to invite you to do this. Now, it seems like super uncomplicated. It's not a big deal. But what we're going to do is we're just going to raise awareness of Jesus. And I think one way we could do that is that any time that we're tempted to post a selfie picture. Now, that's not the main part foundation of this thing. It's not just a selfie picture. It's the heart motive that goes behind it. It's the soul, the health of your soul. This is all about getting healthy in your soul. This is about not feeling the need to have everybody look at you all the time. You get your soul security from Him alone. That is the unselfie life. Desiring to only be seen by Him, to only please Him, to not care, to not have a good job. You know, a lot of people post pictures of themselves because they want to hear good job, or they go back and they look and see how many followers they have or how many likes they have or how many comments and read all the comments, and they look at it all day. They check it all day. How many, what did somebody say about me? I hope they said something good. I hope they think I'm pretty. I hope they think that I sing good. I hope they think this about me. I hope they think, no. That's a sign of an unhealthy soul. Let me tell you some other, I'll say this, raising awareness of Jesus in this unselfie campaign. All we're asking you to do is this. What if every time you wanted to post a selfie or you just were taking time to do something like that, what about instead if you took a minute to turn the lens around? Just turn it around. Take a picture of something else. Take a picture of something else. Something else that you enjoy. Maybe it's like something good in life that God's blessed you with. People that He's blessed you with. Not saying it's wrong to take pictures of people. You know what though? Every time I take a picture, and don't make a rule of this. This is just what I do. Did you know I take pictures with other people? And if I post one, it's with me and my friends or me and my kids or other people. But you know, I don't post selfies. You know what? Because I can't get clear in my heart on it. I can't get clear. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I don't want you to feel bad. That's not what this is about. It's just, and you know, if you still feel like you can post selfies, go for it. And you don't have anything wrong. There's no heart motive wrong. But you know, a lot of times in the world we live in, we want people to look at us. And that's this generation. We want people to look at us. We want them to notice us. And this morning, I thought I would just ask you guys if you want to do the unselfie campaign with us. And I thought, you know, if you every time you're tempted to take a picture of yourself, if you would take a picture, turn the lens around, take a picture of somebody else, or take a picture of you and your friends, or, you know, think about other people. Every time you're tempted to take a selfie, start thinking about Jesus. Start thinking about other people around you. And you know what? I think it'd be cool if we like did like hashtag unselfie campaign. Y'all want to do it? Okay. Well, I thought it'd be cool to do it in the summertime. And you know, part of this too is, how about this? I think I have a good example for you on this. And I asked the Go Ministries drama team to come and do a skit for you on Unselfie. Is it okay if they come and do this? Yes. And after they get done with this skit, then we'll keep going.
If I want to be loved, this is what I would do. See me, notice me. Don't you want to get to know me? See me, notice me. Don't you want to get to know me? Yeah. Cricket. Oh, you will.
If I wanted to be loved, this is what I would do. Hug me, kiss me, tell me that you love me. Hug me, kiss me, tell me that you love me.
See me, notice me, don't you want to get to know me? See
me,
notice me, don't you want to get to know me? Yes!
If I wanted to be loved, this is what I would do. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet.
See me, notice me, don't you want to get to know me? See me, notice me, don't you want to get to know me? What? Don't you want to get to know me? Yes! Standing applause by one man that really wants to get to know me. BFF.
I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet.
Don't you want to get to know me?
I'll be kind, I'll be sweet, only if you kiss my feet.
Don't you want to get to know me? Duck, 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 duck. Duck, goose! What? Sick! She's not a blonde.
I am. Don't you want to get to know me? Jealous?
If I wanted to be loved, this is what I will do. I will shove all my clothes, all you see is up my nose. I will shove all my clothes, all you see is up my nose.
I'm tough.
I will shove
I'm cool.
All my clothes.
No one's gonna see a fool.
Nose.
I'm tough. I'm cool. No one's gonna see a fool. I'm tough.
I'll be kind.
I'm cool.
I'll be sweet.
No one's gonna see a fool. I'm tough.
I'll be kind.
I'm cool.
I'll be sweet. Only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind.
I'm cool.
No one's gonna see a fool. I'm tough. I'll be kind.
I'm cool.
I'll be sweet. No one's gonna see a fool. I'm tough.
I'll be kind. I'll be sweet.
Only if
you kiss my feet. Don't you wanna get to know me?
See me.
Notice me. Don't you wanna get to know me? Yes! Selfie!
Wrong way.
If I wanted to be loved, this is what I would do.
I'm buff! I'm tan! I'm your macho man! I'm buff! I'm tan. I'm your macho man. I'm buff. 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 I'm tan. I'm your macho man.
I'll be kind. I'll be sweet. Only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind. I'll be sweet. Only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind. I'll be sweet. Only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind. I'll be sweet. Only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind. I'll be sweet. Only if you kiss my feet. I'll be kind. I'll be sweet. Only if you kiss my feet.
Don't you want to get to know me? See me. Notice me. Don't you want to get to know me? Coming in hot. Yes!
If I wanted to be loved, this is what I would do.
to do any of this stuff to be loved. God loves us all, just the way we are.
Thank you, guys. I love that skit. But this is a perfect, perfect demonstration of the selfie life. You know, the selfie life is really loud. It's obnoxious. It's really, really showy. It's all about me, 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 me. And that is the exact opposite of who Jesus is. He is the opposite. He is the ultimate example of the unselfie life. He lays down his life for the sheep every day. And this one symptom, the selfie syndrome, is one of those major soul sicknesses that are going around in our day. And I just want to make you aware of it. I don't want you to feel bad if you've ever posted a selfie. But sometimes it's good to have things brought out in the light, isn't it? Because sometimes when you see truth or you know the truth, that's when you're made free. And don't you want to be free in here this morning? Now, the selfie life or the selfish life is one of the ultimate examples of a soul sickness. Because, man, it will make you, it'll destroy you faster than anything else. It'll destroy your relationships. It'll destroy your job opportunity. It'll destroy everything in your life. But the unselfie life will take you to a high place of success. And I thought about some other soul sicknesses. And you know, when I tell you these soul sicknesses, these are all things, especially even selfishness or the selfie life, that is the nature of the flesh. Selfishness is the nature of the flesh. That's just how it is. So not one person in here has ever been, everybody in here has dealt with selfishness. Everybody has dealt with it because we all have flesh. So no one in here is perfect, holier than thou. All of us have the flesh to deal with. So when I tell you each one of these soul sicknesses, you will recognize them. You will remember things in life. You'll remember things in you. You'll probably remember things in other people. But there is absolutely no reason to get under condemnation about it. What it is it's just bringing awareness to it so that when it comes to you, because it will come to you, it will be a temptation to yield to it. When it comes to you, you'll be able to recognize it and say, that is not coming on me. That cannot work and live in my soul. Now, first I want to tell you this. What is the soul? A lot of people think, and when they describe it as in ministry, or they try to say that the soul is the heart of man or the spirit of man. But you know what the soul is? The soul is your mind. What's going on in your mind? That would be your thoughts. That would be the deepest parts of your heart, like the thought, the intents of your heart, not your spirit man. Now, when you became born again, your spirit was born new to look like Jesus. It became perfect. But your soul is your mind, all those things going on up here, your will, what you will to do, and your emotions. Man, your emotions. Do you know how many sicknesses and diseases in the body are connected to your emotions? Have you ever heard of deadly emotions? This is really what I'm talking about. These are issues of the soul. And all of these things, and I'm telling you, are part of the flesh, of the nature of the flesh. So don't feel bad if you've ever dealt with this. People, whoever you are, no matter how spiritual you are, you will deal with this for your whole life. You will be confronted with these temptations to yield to these things. Now, if you're living the selfie life, then you will yield to them easily. But if you're living the unselfie life, then you will yield to the Spirit of God over self or over flesh. Now, I love how my husband says it. He says there's a crossroads between spirit and flesh. and you come to this crossroads, and you get to choose who gets the mic, the Spirit of God, or the flesh, your flesh. And I just want to deal with some of these things. Selfishness is one of them. One of them is pride, and that's a part of selfishness. But pride, look at me. It's always an higher estimation of self than really needs to be there. And there's so many parts to this, and we can't get into all of it. But you know how to deal with pride in your life? You can recognize when it's showing up in your life. You can start to feel it. It's even like when somebody does something rough to you and you want to one-up them. You know that one-up syndrome? That's a syndrome too, one-up. When you start to notice that, if you'll just step back and recognize that's pride, okay? And immediately, you know what I do to deal with something like that? Yeah, I said I deal with it. Everybody deals with it. Everybody. When that temptation comes to me, my soul, first of all, I recognize it. That's pride. And then you know how I deal with it? I love this. I get so wrapped up in Jesus that I start to lose sight of myself. I take time to stare at Jesus until I lose sight of myself, self, self, self. Staring at Jesus long enough until you lose sight of yourself. That's how you deal with pride. You can't deal with it any other way. You can't go to someone else and try to get them to make you feel better about yourself. Insecurity, here. Insecurity is another soul sickness, and this one goes right alongside pride. Insecurity, man, that is when you do not know who you are in Christ. You may know who you are in the world. You know, that's a big thing with this generation. And I know that I found this out long ago, but did you know that, and you probably have experienced this, have you been taught a message before or taught this, be you, just be you, just be you, be who you are. Just be you. Did you know that's not the right thing, the right concept to think about when you're talking about insecurity and how to overcome insecurity? You don't need you, more of you in the flesh. You need to know who you are in Christ and to know who you are hidden in Him. Man, I can just tell you from personal experience, any time that I've done anything outside of the will of God or done anything, I just didn't even feel beautiful at all. I felt lousy, absolutely lousy. Why? And this is because, not because I am lousy, I'm not. I am, you know, you are, and I am, every one of you, in the eyes of God, you look just like Jesus if you've been born again. You are beautiful. You are perfect to Him. You are spotless. That's how He sees you. But the tendency is when you start to get outside of who He is and you start to focus on self and all that you are, you can't ever move yourself out from being in Him. That's sealed. That's finished. But what you do is you just get over into an area that you're not called to be in. You get over into self, and you just don't look as pretty. You don't look as pretty when you live the selfie life. You don't look as beautiful. But when you start to live your life like Jesus, you start to look like His nature, His image. And this insecurity thing, you know how you deal with insecurity? You get in His presence. And you may, for me, I start to, insecurity is really a lot of times a soul sickness that develops out of comparison, comparing yourself to someone else. You know, the Bible tells us very specifically not to do this. But what happens is when you start comparing yourself to others, you get into something really dark called envy. Envy and jealousy. The Bible says that where those things are and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Well, jealousy and envy, man, if you go back and you look in the Old Testament, King Saul, I don't know if you remember that story about him. He got so jealous of David because he saw the anointing on David's life that he tried to, he started getting over into, he got confused in his soul. He got sick in his soul. These are soul sicknesses. He got so jealous, so envious, that he started chasing after David and tried to kill him. This is someone that he loved at one time. That's what happens if you get over into these places in your soul that are, and you let it just get out of hand and unhealthy, you start to do things that are not you, that are not like who God created you on the inside to be. And envy, jealousy, insecurity, all pride, all these things are connected. You know, for envy, what the Lord told me, what the prescription is for envy? When you start to compare yourself to someone else, or start to desire to be like them, or you were wishing that you could be that or do that or look like that, do you know what the prescription is? Thanksgiving. Recognize it. Stop. Recognize. This is envy. This is the comparison trap. This is jealousy. This is insecurity. I recognize it. And you know what? Lord, I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to thank you for who you've called me to be. And you stop that. You shut it down when you recognize it. And you instead let come out of your mouth thanksgiving to the Lord for what he's done for you. Think about it. Go back and remember all the doors he's opened for you, all the friends he's given you, the calling that he has on your life, all the good things he's done for you. Be thankful. Thanksgiving is the prescription for envy. And you can go back and see all kinds of soul sicknesses. I mean, this selfishness, pride, envy, jealousy. Man, do you guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, do you recognize now that these are actually sicknesses? And the truth is, if you let them go on and you let them go on and you let them go on, they can develop into other sicknesses. But the reason I'm talking to you this morning about it is because I want you to be healthy. I want you to be healthy in your soul. I want you to be healthy at school. I want you to be healthy at your job. And you know, you got to be healthy to have a healthy marriage. You got to be healthy in your soul someday. If you want to have a good marriage, you got to be healthy in your soul. And, oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus is the good shepherd. And he cares for the health of your soul. He cares. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to live your days full of joy. You know, all these things sound like little deals, but they will strip you from your joy. All these things in the mind, your thought life, what you think about, strife in your relationships. You know, strife is a soul sickness. Unforgiveness is a soul sickness. Unforgiveness. If you have aught, if you have a problem with anybody, that is something that has the potential to develop into sickness of your soul. But you know what? Your soul has to be healthy. Your soul needs to be healthy. You need to be free. Free to live this life. Free to be full of joy. You know, you should be having joy every day. Some of you guys, I need to see a smile on your face. If you see someone that is full of joy, you can know that they are a free person. That's how you know if someone's free, is if they're full of joy. Full of joy. You know, one way to live the unselfie life is this. If you'll spend all your time blessing, you will have no time for cursing. Think about this. If you notice yourself consistently talking negatively about someone else or a group of people or a person, gossiping, whispering, these are soul sicknesses. If you find yourself judging other people, these are signs of a soul sickness. And these things come up in all the time. And you immediately have the choice to yield to the Spirit of God, to yield to the unselfie life, or to yield to the selfie life. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to look like Jesus. One scripture that comes to mind is 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Parade itself. Have you guys ever been stuck on a street when a parade came by? Everything shuts down to stare at what's going on in the parade. You're forced to look at whatever is highest. Whatever's coming down the road, everything shuts down. All the school, you can't walk across the street. It's so obnoxious, isn't it? I mean, for me, I mean, I know some parades are fun, but like, you can't get anywhere. You're stuck. All the roads shut down for this one thing on display. You know, when I'm dealing with worship leaders and teaching people in ministry, I see people on stage, and you know, I think one of the worship leaders' greatest, do I have any worship leaders in here? Anybody that, oh, awesome. Well, I'm saying this for you, I guess, then. But you know, one of the greatest soul sicknesses that a worship leader deals with is pride. And you have to learn, and even in ministry, Satan will come. That is the nature of the flesh, and he will come with these soul sicknesses. He will come. He'll try to come. And even in ministry, you know, the best worship leaders, the best preachers, the best ministers are those who will shine the big light on Jesus and then hide themselves in his shadow. Shine the big light on Jesus every day and then shine and then hide yourself in his shadow. And you know, as a worship leaders, they don't need more of us on that stage. They need more of Jesus on display. They don't need more of us up there. They don't need more of me and you. They need more of Jesus. And if we can consistently be the kind of unselfie people that turn eyes to him. You know, when people come to you, and if you are a real representation of Jesus, you know what they should be able to do? They should be able to be drawn to you because of your kindness, number one. Be drawn to you. But then when they get to you, they should be able to see through you to him. You know, a lot of this can go back to the kind of clothes that we choose to wear. Now, I might step on a few toes with this one. Are you ready? Did you know that the unselfie life is a holy life? The unselfie life cares more about other people than self. You care more about Jesus and the Lord than self. You care more about other people than self. And you are consistently watching what you're wearing. Now, this isn't talked about a lot in church anymore. Modesty, even. But it's a huge, huge, huge deal, even in the church today. Did you know if you love somebody, if you really love somebody, you will listen to the Holy Spirit before you leave your closet. And you'll ask yourself this question. As a woman, this could be for a guy too, but mostly for us girls. When you leave your closet, ask the Lord this. Is what I'm wearing going to draw more attention to me, or is it going to draw more attention to you? And you ask yourself that. You ask the Lord that. Because love cares more about other people. You care about their life. You care about their soul health. Did you know you should care about other people's souls, that they're healthy? And all this, and we're not going to get into all that, but I just want to make you aware of some of these soul sicknesses. And I want to tell you that there is a way to live free from it. There is. But I'm telling you, it'll come through thoughts. That's how it comes. You know, Satan can do nothing to you unless you allow him to do it in your life. Everybody's always scared of the devil. He's not scary, number one. You don't need to ever say you're scared of him or afraid of him. He's a real big loser. But I want to encourage you not to be afraid of him. And he'll try to come, he'll try to do things, but unless you just open up your soul to him, he can work nothing in your life. He can work nothing in your family. He can work nothing in your body. He can't do it. But if you'll listen and be led by the good shepherd, you'll stick right with him. You'll stare at him. You'll spend your days thinking about him over self. You can get free of a lot of these things. And I love, you know, even the stories of the apostles and the, like Peter and John, all the, that they experienced miracles all the time. Do you know what they did? They never took credit for any of the miracles. They always pointed people to Jesus. They always pointed people back to him. People tried to build them up, and they didn't even care to hear it. Those are some healthy people in their soul. They're healthy. They didn't need the credit. They didn't need the glory. They gave all the glory to the Lord. You know, when you do something good, did you know you should never have to hear a good job? You should never have to hear it. Now, I'm not saying we don't encourage people. We do. And be led when you encourage people and receive it when people give it to you. But you know, you should never have to hear a good job or well done. You know why? You can be so healthy in your soul, it doesn't matter if anyone comes to you. It doesn't matter what they say to you, what they do for you. All that matters is what Jesus thinks about you. That's being healthy in your soul. Being healthy, being so healthy that you don't need acclaim from people. That's the unselfie life. And looking at this, I was thinking about 3 John chapter 1. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." Your soul is healthy. When your soul is healthy, your body is healthy. You know, I think about this with Jesus. You gotta really find out where you're getting your joy in life. What's making you happy in life? You know, because people can make you happy. And golly, here's the thing. Jesus, he loved two things. He loved his Father God, and he loved people. And you know what? I really believe this is where his soul, his happiness came from. Not what other people thought of him, but the people that God put in his life. That's where his joy came from. Think about it. What did he spend all his time doing? Preaching, teaching, and healing. What is healing? Healing is a demonstration, an action of kindness. It's kindness. He spent all his days being kind to people, loving people. He spent all his time blessing that he had no time for cursing. That's what Jesus did. And think about it. He would go into a place and lay his hands on someone. Think about, I love this story of Jairus' daughter when they told him that she was dead. And he went in and laid his hands on her, and she rose up. Now think about how that made the souls of all these people. Think about what that did for their soul. Man, that made them, that was joy, huh? That brought joy to see your little girl raised from the dead. But I always like to think about, what do you think about Jesus? How do you think that made his soul? What do you think that did for his soul? You think that helping other people, healing other people brought joy to him? Man, his soul was so healthy. Why? Because he was always going around doing good. He was always blessing. He lived the ultimate example of the unselfie life. Oh, what a Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful example. He went about doing good. He is so wonderful, isn't he? He's so, so wonderful, and he is the good shepherd. And I want you to look at two more scriptures, and we're going to be done. This one's in Isaiah, chapter 53. And I love it because this whole passage, I didn't even realize this till not long ago, but you know, it talks about our sicknesses and diseases, how Jesus took our sicknesses and diseases. But you know what? It also talks about a few other things that he took for us. Let's read it. In verse 4, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs." Do you know what some of these words are? Heartache. Did you know heartache is a soul sickness? You've been hurt. Something in your life. Somebody's done something to hurt you. Heartache, He took your pain, your misery, your unhappiness. Those are all soul sicknesses. He also carried your sorrows. Those are things of the soul. Your sadness, worry, torment, regrets, shame, condemnation. Did you know how you can deal with the soul sickness of condemnation? You know what condemnation is. It's when you are constantly bombarded with things that are not true about who you are. The devil comes and tells you that you are not worth it, that you are unworthy. No, you are worth it because Jesus made you worth it. You know how you deal with the soul sickness of condemnation? You get in the presence of Jesus himself and you stare at Jesus. You stare at him long enough until you can sense his favor toward you in the smile on his face. You stay there. You stay there with him. He is the answer. You know, I love it how David cried out. He said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Jesus is your joy. He is the joy of your salvation. He's your joy. How many likes you get on Instagram is not the joy of your life. What kind of the things that people say to you are not the joy of your, it's not the joy of your life. How much they love you, how much they don't love you, what they do for you. That is not the joy of your life. Jesus is the joy, the satisfaction. He is your salvation. He is the joy of your soul. And in this scripture, it says that he was smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, that's all the things, your mess ups, everything you've done wrong. He was bruised for your iniquities. You know what that word iniquities means? Guilt. That's another soul sickness. Guilt. He took all that on himself. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Your peace. That's a part of your soul. That was on him so you could have peace. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now get this. Listen, are you reading? Keep going. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Hey, we've wandered off. And the Lord still has laid on Jesus, laid on him, the iniquity of us all. He laid all that soul stuff, all of it on Jesus. No matter if we had wandered away for a little while, no matter where we were, he knew everything going on in your life. He knew everything you'd ever do, and he still laid it all on Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Hey, we've been at times those kind of slow sheep, huh? But Jesus, the Lamb of God, this is a picture of the sheep, he took our place. He took our place. As a sheep was before his shears was silent. Some translations say, as a sheep is dumb before his shears. That means he was silent. He did not open his mouth even when they came to him. He acted dumb, pretty much, but he wasn't. But he did it for you. He kept his mouth shut. And he kept his mouth shut all the way through all the... He could have stopped it. He could have stopped them beating him. He could have stopped them scourging him. He could have stopped the stripes. He could have stopped the whips. The Bible says he could have called on all the angels of heaven to come and rescue him. But he kept silent. He acted dumb. He took our place. He was the lamb that was slain. He took our place, acted like that. And you know what? He stayed silent all the way through the punishment, all the way through the beating, all the way through the stripes. Because by his stripes, he could see down the road his joy. And the joy of his life was us. We were the joy that was set before him. That was the joy in his soul. You were. You were. All the days of his life, it was for you. He was living for you. His joy was what he could see ahead down the future, laid down his life as a sheep, laid down his life as the lamb, laid down his life, kept silent, and even says that he He laid down his life to death, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? How could that please the Lord? That's pleasure in your soul. God himself was having pleasure to see Jesus beaten. Why? Because he could see you. You were his joy. You were the joy in his soul. The joy of his life. You are the joy of his life. Because then it says here in verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, yet he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. That's you. That's me. He was seeing it. He was seeing it by faith. And he shall prolong his days. You know, he did all of this because you were the joy that was set before him. You were the joy in his soul. Look at one more scripture with me, and this is in 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus is the ultimate example of the unselfie life. Man, he is so wonderful. He is so perfect. He wants your souls to be healthy. He wants to lead you out. He wants to protect you. He wants to be your good shepherd. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who himself, Jesus himself, bore our sins on his own body. Bore our sins, think about this, on his self. Self. Took it all on his self. He bore our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Get this, verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Who is the one who cares for your soul? It's Jesus. Who's the one that cares about you? He cares about your mind. He cares about your body. He cares about everything in your life. He's always caring for you. He's always looking at you. He's always staring at you. You know, to stare at him, to behold Jesus, is to stare at him long enough until you realize that he's been staring at you all along. Have you ever heard that old saying, I noticed you noticing me? That's what's taking place with Jesus. You don't think that he's always staring at you, but he is. He's been in love with you before the foundation of the world. Stay there with him. You need healing in your soul. You need healing up here. If you've been dealing with some of these soul sicknesses, you need healing up here. Just get with Jesus. People think that they need to hear the how-tos and the 1-2-3s and the steps and all, come tell me how to do everything, they look at people and they think, oh, you're perfect. Tell me how you do it. Show me what to do. But you know what you need? You need to get in the presence of the Lord. You need to get with Jesus. That's where miracles come. Staring at him. Looking at him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, staring at him, taking time to hear from him. You know, the good shepherd speaks, and he speaks to you, and he leads you with that still small voice on the inside. You want to know some keys to miracles in your life? If you need a miracle in your life, just get with Jesus in his presence. Don't ask everybody else what you should do. They don't know your answer. They won't know your answer. If you need help, it's good to ask for help. But I'm just saying, if you need to know what to do in your life in a certain situation, go to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He is the answer. He has every answer. He knows the ins and outs of everything. He knows where you need to go. He knows how to keep you from walking off those cliffs. He knows how to keep you from going down the wrong path. He knows how to protect you from the lion and the wolf. He is the good shepherd that watches over his sheep. And he leads us with his still, sweet voice. And when those soul sicknesses try to come and they try to attack your soul, he's there on the inside to lead you out of that, to lead you into a healthy, healthy life. A healthy soul equals a healthy home. If you've been dealing with stuff in your home, you've had strife in your family, go before the Lord. Get in his presence. Ask him. Ask him to show you. Ask him to help you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we just have the band come back up? And we're going to do one more song. And just during this song, if you've dealt with anything in your soul, I want you just to look at Jesus and let him know what that is. Show him. Talk to him about it. Don't hold anything back. Get real with him. Don't pretend like there's nothing going on. Don't pretend that you haven't dealt with these things. Just open yourself up to him. Lord, I recognize these things now, and I ask you to move in, and I thank you for healing my soul. Thank you for working in me, helping me. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just stand up with me? Thank you, Lord. David knew a secret to staying steady in life, to being secure in life, to never being shaken. He knew a secret, and he cried out. It's because he could see down the road by faith. He cried out and he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. That means he knew there was something coming. He knew Jesus was coming someday. He knew that there was a Messiah coming, and he foresaw him always before his face. That means he was always in constant expectation of him and his goodness. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken, that I may not be shaken. You know, you don't need to be shaken in life. You don't need to be shaken every day. You don't need to be tossed around, wavering, unsure of your life, unsure of your friendships, unsure of all that. No, you need to be healthy. You need to be healthy in your soul, full of joy, full of good, 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 full of lots of laughter. You need to laugh a lot. You need to be so happy. You need to laugh all day. You know, health comes from joy. That's the true source of your health. It's not having the perfect nutrition. Those things are good, but your joy and your health, comes from joy. Comes from Jesus, the joy of your salvation. And my prayer this morning for you is that you would prosper and be in health in your soul. Be healthy in your soul. So, Father, this morning, we all acknowledge you. We all acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, as the shepherd of our souls, the good shepherd who cares for us. Lord, we acknowledge these things that we've dealt with in our life, that we've had to watch over and keep in check. And we ask you to help. We ask you for your help this morning. We want to be free. We receive your freedom from every soul sickness, everything that has become bondage to us, a stronghold in our minds and our thinking. We receive your freedom from it. We receive victory from it. Today, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, why don't you just, where you're at, you don't have to say it out loud. You just whisper it under your breath to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I know I've dealt with this. I want it out of my life today. And I receive healing for this in my soul. I receive a healthy soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, yesterday, you can all look at me now. When I told you last night that story about when I was dealing with postpartum depression, you know, depression is a soul sickness. Depression is actually a result of the selfie life, staring at yourself too much instead of staring at Jesus. And you think, well, how could that be? But it actually is. If you will spend your time changing your thoughts, putting your thoughts on Jesus instead of yourself and who you are or who you are not, just staring at Him, you'll start to become like Him in your mind, in your soul. You'll begin to look like Him. Yesterday, I was telling you that story about after I had Jesse, I was dealing with the postpartum depression, and I had one moment in the presence of the Lord. And the Spirit of God came in the room and I started to sing only one word, freedom. And I must have released faith in His victory and His freedom, because in that moment, one moment with Him changed everything for me. One moment with Him. That's all it takes. Does it take 30 hours of saying your confessions? Those are good. Keep doing it. Speaking the word, speaking life, it's good. But it just takes one moment with Him, seeing Jesus, to experience freedom. And I want you to have freedom in this place today. You know, I started to sing that song. Whoa, I don't even know, were we in the same key? Whoa, freedom. I sang it over and over and over when I'd sing that. I got free. I started laughing. I'm not saying you have to laugh in here today. If you want to, great, laugh. But I got free. And you know what? Here's the thing. I didn't even realize it. I just thought I was caught up in the presence of the Lord for a little while because I was with all these people. We were worshiping. It was so good. But you know what? That week, I got home. I got home from that meeting. And I was washing dishes. And I realized that depression was gone. I was just standing there. And I realized I hadn't had a fearful thought in 3 days. I had had no anxiety, absolutely nothing. And you know what? It stuck with me. I've never had another symptom of that ever since. It took one moment with Jesus, one moment, and I got free. And I just want to let you guys have a moment with Him this morning. This isn't just a moment to sing the song. But this is a moment to get free with Him in your soul. And you know what? I guarantee you, if you live by this, you'll start to see things in your body line up. You will. Because the body will follow right behind. It'll mimic what's going on in your soul. We're going to sing this song, and then Jeremy's going to come up after this. We're going to pray, and we're going to receive healing for anything else we need in our bodies. We're just going to take care of all of it today, okay? The soul, the body, are you expecting something good? Now, I believe some of you have already been healed in here just by the hearing of the word this morning. Already experienced the Lord working in you. And we're just going to keep enjoying that. We're going to enjoy His presence. If you want to come up and worship, you can with us. And we're going to sing this new song that we taught you last night and let you just enjoy Him and get free.